Yes, well, we wanted to request a few words if you could say something about the meaning of this puja of Haruka Vajrasattva Tog and the meaning of Tog, because we often do this puja, but it is very mysterious to us.
Same to me too. So good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming and joining today's talk. And it's auspicious to start at least Tibetan New Year with something virtuous activities. So of course there are many different offering on top based on different deities, you know. Most common that we also Lama Chopa, you know. And also there are many different versions of Lama Chopa, you know, according to based on Yamataka, Lama Chopa talk offering based on Chakrasamba, offering based on all three high Shiva Tantras, you know, and then of course the other talk offerings, also Sattva talk offerings, also related to Tara and others, Vasa Yogini and all others, you know. And I think Vasa Sattva's talk offerings is quite short and common in our lineage organizations. I think Lama Yeshe's feel strong connections with that. And so I think So talk is a Tibetan terms that could mean gathering. Also, it means merit or collections of merit and wisdom. You know, sometimes it also means the substance that we use to offer also for that as a talk. So here, when we talk about talk offerings, then normally it's a gathering of the Daga, Daginis, or in other, for us, you know, a gathering of male and female practitioner together and to engage into this feast. You know, by the five objects of desires, you know, such as the form, the sound, the smell, the taste, the objects. We transform through the practice, you bless them and transform into a great bliss and emptiness. And through that, then you make offerings to the gurus, the Yidam, the Buddhas, Daga, Daginis, you know, protectors, the sentient beings. And then you enjoy and experience as making offering to yourself as the deity, you know, and then by experiencing that, by enjoying and experiencing that, cultivating a very strong, increasing your blissfulness, that experience the emptiness directly, you know. So that is the practice, the main form of the practice. And also this practice is part of also commitments For those who have taken Sahasrara Tantra, especially part of Madhva Tantra, especially for Madhva Tantra, is part of also part of Samaya of, you know, eating. You know, and part of Samaya of eating is every day, whatever we eat, drink, we try to bless them, we try to, through blessing, dump on them, and then imagine, visualize making off to yourself as a deity, or the body of that. That is the everyday kind of samaya, the samaya of eating, you know. Also, one of the samaya of eating, and then this top offering is a special samaya that we try to perform, especially on special days, like the 10th and 25th with the Tibetan calendars, and is supposed to be energetic time where there is a lot of movements of Dagas, Daginis. And Dagas, Daginis are more highly realized Tantric practitioners, you know, and you know, Daginis, female, highly realized Tantric practitioner, Dagas, male, highly realized Tantric practitioners. And so, because it is a time when there's a lot of movement of such energies, you know, externally, internally, you know, and therefore using that time to practice, to energize our own practice, can be helpful, beneficial. To, and so that is why we do. And of course, it doesn't mean that we can do the practice all the time, so often, if we can, you know. It is one of the most powerful way of creating merit. And therefore, in the monasteries, you know, a lot of time, whenever someone pass away, you know, they do Lama Chöpa offerings, and thereby creating a lot of merit, and then dedicating that merit for someone who have disease, you know. That is another very practice that is often done in all the monasteries, in our ghetto monasteries, you know. One of the things they do is Lama Chöpa offering when they do more extensively, you know. Of course, when they don't have time or resource, then they do other prayers, and you know, such as aid prayer for disease and some others. But when there is more requests, or even when they're not request more resource and time, then they do the Lama Chöpa Thob. So it is a very powerful way of creating a merit quickly and a lot. And also, there was also mentioning of, you know, also is a powerful practice toward purification as well. Adisha advising, of course, there are many different forms of purification practices, but also one of them is also the top offering, through the top offerings. Also, is a very powerful way of purification as well. So, yeah, and as you know, probably sometimes we find, I think we see in Lama Chöpa also, you know, the field born Daginis, you know, Shinge Ngage, mantra born Daginis, Lenge spontaneous, yeah, spontaneously born dakinis. You know, and so in that, you know, the spontaneously dakinis are those fully enlightened beings who take in the form of dakini form to help and benefit sentient beings. You know, and then the mantra born dakinis are highly realized dakinis on the tantric path, but we haven't achieved fully awakened, fully enlightened state, but we have already achieved high realizations, and you know, continue to again make progress in their path, as well as to help benefit, to protect the Dharma and to protect Dharma practitioner and flourish the Dharma and so forth. And then field born dakinis, sometimes they say the, you know, the dakinis, they are in those, they're known as 24 holy places in the world, you know. And so those dakinis who are not as highly developed as the previous two dakinis, but who have certain signs of some special in that tantric practice, and that compared to others, ordinaries. So those are kind of three of dakinis, and same with the dagas, dakinis, you know, male and female. And as I said, it normally is kind of gathering of those male and female practitioners, dakinis. And for us, even though we are not necessarily that, but the gathering of male and female practitioner together to create merit, to practice together, to create merit together. And in the scripture, the explain about, as I said before, you know, those energy being more active, you know, but also also certain times, you know, there's also different energy in our bodies as well. You know, His Holiness the Lama mentions, you know, he observed, you know, how our breath is different on certain days. Ellipse, you call ellipse, yeah, when the sun, moon and sun.
Eclipse.
Eclipse. He noticed, you know, the breath is not normal, you know, very not so active, very shallow, you know, not so obvious, not strong. And he said he felt quite a few times, even he didn't know there was sun and moon elapse, and he felt something that day, you know, with his breath. One time when he was traveling to Europe, and another time in Dharamsala, in different times. And then he realized later that it was one of those days, you know. So so there is something about you know, astrology, the movement in the world, and our bodies, you know, and due to that, there is, so in sudden, when there is such a movement or something like that, then the practitioner can utilize that energy. It can be a powerful to utilize the external energy together with your internal energy, and then that can become much more powerful. And so I think that is also why it's recommended the top offering on certain days, and that is why it's powerful on those certain days. So yeah, I think that is, and also, you know, of course, we are just, a lot of time we are just visualizing, at the moment. But as practitioners get more and more advanced, they are not just visualizing, they are able to actually experience a lot of things that we are just visualizing at the moment. You know, they are able to transform a lot of the substance into, you know, uncontaminated and source of great bliss. You know, at the moment we are just visualizing blessing and transforming into something, you know, blissful and emptiness. But that's, we use that to train ourselves. But as someone makes more progress in their path, you know, then they are able to not only just visualize, able to really transform it and use them to increase their great bliss. And by increasing the great bliss, to increase the level of direct and stronger realizations of the emptiness. And through that, through the great blissful and emptiness, you know, then to destroy the dualistic appearance or the view, which is the root of all the problem and sufferings and samsara, you know. And so, yeah. And same, you know, we in top offering where, you know, bala and mandana, you know, in other words, meat and alcohol, you know, again, we visualize and we just kind of try to visualize that experience for higher practitioners. They can use those to, you know, to, they are able to transform them and to be able to use in you know, to increase and improve their chakras and nadas and drops, which then they use those nadas, chakras and drops for actualizing the great bliss even more stronger, and then also to have a more stronger and direct experience of emptiness with that great bliss, blissful, clear light minds, you know. So those are a little bit on what the talk is, you know. For us, since we don't have the ability to transform, of course, maybe, who knows, there might be some of them here, but like myself, even we don't have the you know, at the moment, the power to transform them, which, but we visualize them and then, you know, make offerings to, as I mentioned, the Guru, Idams, the Buddhas, Dharma, Dharmini, Hero, Protector, all sentient beings. We experience ourselves and then make generosity offering to those obstacles and who harms other sentient beings in the left upper top, and requesting them to not to harm, but instead to help the Dharma practitioners and the sentient beings. You know, so that is, there's a, and as I mentioned, for, of course, the main practice is, you know, whatever meditations subject that we, in term of sutta, the lumbering topics, in term of tantra, the generation and completion stages, in term of especially high shiva tantras, those are the main practice, you know. We rely on those, we try to do those main practice to develop from one path to the next stages, one stage to the next higher stages, to the next higher stages. And thereby, you know, reducing and eliminating from gross level of delusion and dualistic view to more subtle and more subtle level of those, you know. And that is how we progress higher and higher, and then able to achieve the result fully awakened state. But in order to our practice, whatever practice we are doing, you know, whether it's a Lamrim meditations, you know, any subject of Lamrim meditation, whole subject of Lamrim meditation, whether it's precious human rebirth, guru devotions, you know, death impermanence, you know, suffering alone and refuge, whatever low, middle, small scope, middle scope, high scope, the practice of bodhicitta and meditating emptiness, whatever different Lamrim topic meditation we do, you know, in order to have a realization, to develop realizations, not just as intellectual understanding of that, but to have experiential understanding of that. And not only have experiential understanding effortlessly day and night, that's what realizations are. When we have those awareness through such meditations, effortlessly, even when you are not putting any effort day and night all the time, that is when we develop realizations. At the moment when we meditate, we have small awareness that moment, and then that awareness is gone once we are out of that sessions. You know, and for a few moments it helps us that, but then when we don't have that awareness, then again we're back to our normal way of thinkings and normal reactions and response and all of that, or, you know. And that is because we don't have that awareness active in that moment. But when you have that awareness all the time, when you have realization and awareness, then, you know, that's where real transformations started to happen, and you can see transformations. You can feel the transformations, you know. And so in order to have those different realizations, spiritual realization, you need to meditate, contemplate, you know, on practice on those particular subjects that you are trying to cultivate and develop. But other factors also play important roles, you know, purifications, accumulation, merit, and the blessings of the gurus and the enlightened beings such as Buddha, Bodhisattva, and so forth. And so, sometimes people doesn't understand that. They don't see the importance of purification and accumulation of merit, how that play roles. You know, sometimes they misunderstand it as some kind of rituals and nothing to do with mind training, nothing to do with the meditation and practice. Sometimes there is misunderstanding of that, you know. These are just rituals, you know, nothing to do with mind training, nothing to do with meditations. Again, you know, those are if we read the biography of great masters, you know, all the great masters of all the lineage, from all the different lineage, you see, you know, where they struggles to have the spiritual realizations until they embrace, or until they take the practice of purification and accumulation of merit and guru yoga and so forth in together with the meditation itself. Including our founder, Lama Tsongkhapa, you know. Even though he has been studying meditating for long times, for long time, you know, meditating for long times, but his realization of emptiness was not according to the Prasangika, the real realizations. Once he asked Manjushri, you know, this is the experience he has, you know, from his meditations. is correct realizations or is correct awareness or experience that he experienced according to Prasangika. You know, to his disappointment, the answer was no. You know, the answer was no. You know, and then when he asked, "What should I do to have the correct realization and experience of that?" And the advice was, you know, combine purification, accumulation of merit, guru yoga, while seeing the guru and the deity inseparable, and then continue to meditate. And when, and then you will find, you will have the experience and the realization that you are looking for. And based on that advice, and then Lama Tsongkhapa, you know, left from what he was doing, you know, teaching, studying, and then he took time off to do all this practice, combining all this practice together with 8 disciples as advised by Manjushri. And then, you know, that is when, after that, that's when he had the real realizations of emptiness, according to Prasangika point of view, the most subtle, the most realization of emptiness. And after that realization of emptiness, then his experience also changed, transformed greatly, and that is when he composed the praises to dependent arisings, because his faith and devotion to the Buddha grew so strongly after he had that realization. As if you read that, he mentioned, even though I have some faith to the Buddhas, being born in a Buddhist families and being in the monastery since very young age and studying and learning, he had some faith, but still that faith was not something unshakable or something, you know, very strong. But once he had that realization of emptiness, you know, his faith became unshakable, you know, towards the Buddha who taught that teachings, you know, and the teaching itself, Dharma, all of that. So that is, you know, so that shows the importance in terms of the story of that, those great masters. But even if you try to, you know, sometimes even though we hear those stories, sometimes we still, you know, not so sure, because it is a story of someone, and you know, whether it apply to everyone or not, or how accurate those stories are or not, you know, sometimes we still can have some, you know, doubt or some not sure, you know. But again, if we try to look, you know, if we observe the external world, how the external world functions, and then we apply that to the internal world, that functioning of the law of cause and effect of external world applies same to internal world law of cause and effect. And so then it can be easy to see, you know. And in terms of external world, if we really try to observe, you know, even the main cause of any plant to grow is the seed. You need a healthy seed. That is the main cause. You know, the primary main cause is healthy seed. But healthy seed just by itself is not enough for the seed to grow to the plant full with full potentials. You know, you need many other conditions, cooperative condition, supporting conditions, you know, such as the soil, the moisture, the heat, the space, and weather and so forth. It depends all these conditions. With all these conditions supporting and then a healthy seed, then the plant can grow more healthy and fully more. That is what the merit does. Creating merit is creating that conducive conditions. That's the function of the merit. Like the seed is the main meditations. Okay, like the seed is the main meditations. Whatever subjects on that you meditate on, that is like a seed. But in order that seed to grow into the plant of realization fully, then you need other supporting conducive conditions, like all these, some of the things that I just mentioned. Similarly, accumulating or creating merit is that creating that conducive conditions. It functions as that conducive conditions. In order to plant to grow fully, not only it need those conducive conditions, you need to clear some of the things, that could be obstacle for its growth. Maybe there is too much storm that doesn't allow the root to have a strong root and go inside, and then that doesn't give that, and then it doesn't, the root is not strong, the plant is not strong. Or maybe there are some other weeds that's taking all the energy. So this plant, the seed that you have planted, is not able to get full energies, all the water, fertilizer, everything, because the other plants are taking it, the weeds around it. So you have to clear that. You have to clear the stone, you have to clear the weeds, and that's why you spend a lot of time in the gardening, isn't it? To clear those. To clear those and to give conducive condition, watering them, making the fertilizers and all these things. Because just putting seed itself is not enough. You need all this in order to grow. And same, the purifications does the same functioning work of clearing those obstacles internal for the internal seeds of our practice to grow in the plant, fully developed plant. So that is what it does. So I think with the external, that we can see, we can observe, we can see, easy to understand. Sometimes when it comes to internal, it is something we cannot see with our senses, like our eyes, like the external. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult, but we use the reasoning, logic, same law apply, whether it's external world or internal world, And that is why also Buddha, in his teachings on 12 links, in the Rice Seedling Sutta, first he explained the dependent arising of external world. Once he had explained the dependent arising of external world, which is more easy to understand because we can see it, and then this same applied to internal world, and then the internal world of our life, of sentient beings, and then through the two dependent link, and saying, so purifications, accumulation of merit and blessings, they all play important role in our spiritual realizations. And chalk offering is, as I mentioned, very powerful way to receive the blessings of the gurus, idams, the buddhas, as well as is a very powerful way of accumulating merit. It's a very powerful way of purification, so it functions as it helps to function all these other factors that we need for our spiritual growth and realizations. And so therefore, that's why the soul offerings is highly recommended, and that's also, yeah, why it's also one of the samaya as well, you know. Okay, I think with that, then
So Geshe-la, there was a very auspicious sign today, the first day of Losar. After our very early morning precepts, I must admit, I tried to have a little snooze, and it wasn't going to happen because there was from next door, bang, 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 bang. So I'm like, what on earth is going on? And I went and looked out, and they dismantled a house.
Wow.
And I just thought the whole thing of the Diamond Cutter Sutra and emptiness is about dismantling the house, isn't it?
House?
Yeah, right out the window. Right out by your door, they dismantled the house in one day, on New Year's Day. And I just thought, oh, go Geshe-la, you're going to have the most amazing retreat. So, Geshe-la, you're going to... you've just been on the road for 3 months already on a teaching tour, arrived in Australia the day before yesterday, and then when did you go into retreat? How long?
I don't know. I will be on the road till end of this year, or maybe also maybe until the first 2 months of next year. But like in the road means like I will take 3 months in Nepal, in India, 3-4 months, I think. So after here, then I go to Europe for 3 months, and I go back to Nepal, India, maybe 3-4 months. Then I go back to United States. I do one round of teaching there, and then I will start with it. Yeah. So maybe, yeah. Next 2027 beginning. Be around Mark April. Hibernating.
Oh. How many online?
30
online. Ooh. About 40 in the room with 30 online.
All the Daga and Daganis have gathered.
Online.
Mm-hmm.
She asks if you're excited about retreat.
excited, yes. This is something I have wanted to do a long time, you know. Even before my graduations. Then after graduation, Rinpoche sent me to New Mexico. After serving there 2.5 years, I requested Rinpoche if I could do retreat. And that time Rinpoche gave permission to do that. I went and did over a year in Nepal. Then I had some external obstacles. Where I was doing, at that time, the communist Maoists were very active, trying to overthrow the government, and they were quite strong and active in the rural areas where there's less security. And so the place where I was staying, by a small monastery, there were some who were coming and creating problems. Didn't feel safe. ask Lama Lunduka and Lama Lunduka told me to ask, come down. So then I came back to Copan, and then they say, no, I have to take responsibility. they asked to into take in charge of the education there. So then I was serving the monasteries for 9 years, and then again there was a request to come to New Mexico, and then again I was not sure whether I want to do that or I want to again start a retreat. Then I went, so Rinpoche asked for his advice, and Rinpoche mentioned there is some obstacle to do a retreat. It comes out really good to go. So then again, you know, I end up again in New Mexico for next 12, 13 years. And now I feel it's the time, you know. So excited, but, you know, doesn't have much expectation. I just do my practice. Someone asked me, you know, when you come, you will be more enlightened. And I said, I don't know whether I will be more enlightened or I will come with full of loom. Full of a loom and then maybe a little crazy. even though you can wish and hope for something good, but the reality fact is you never know, you know, lot of things, conditions, so I'm open if I go crazy. so that is.
Thank you so much, Geshe-la. Thank you so much, everyone. Happy New Year. Turn to the person next to you and say hello and introduce yourself.
So, happy Losa and thank you.